Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.
All right, you're very welcome back. It is Thursday's Off the Ball. John Giles is with us on the line. Evening, John.
Evening, Nathan.
We'll get to your Arsenal 11 in just a moment. But obviously, since we were last on air last week, the news that Norman Hunter, unfortunately, has contracted coronavirus emerged. And news today that he's severely unwell in hospital. I know, as well as been teammates, you've been very close friends down through the years. Obviously, a very worrying time.
Very worrying time, Nathan. He has underlying problems, Norman. Unfortunately, he's touched a leukemia. And one other problem. So, you know, fingers crossed in a big way, Nathan, you know.
Yeah, you'd be in touch on a fairly regular basis?
Yeah. I haven't been in touch now. I didn't ring his wife at all since last week. I think she's enough on her plate.
We've
been in every... We don't get together as much as we should do, Nathan. But when we do get together... I'd be very, very close with Norman. It's as if we've never been apart. You know, he's a top class individual.
Yeah, for your golf day, was he a couple of years back?
He was. Yeah. He came over. He's one of the most humble people you could ever meet.
Right.
You never talk about himself and never bragging, down to earth, and always grateful. Nathan, for what he did in football. Because before Don Revie took over, the previous manager had released him. He came from Newcastle.
Yeah.
And he'd been released. And Don Revie brought him back. And Don loved him. Don loved him. We used to play golf, Peter Lorimer against Norman and Don Revie. And that would be on a Tuesday. Used to have Tuesday off and we'd no match midweek. And he'd come in on Monday and he'd say, "Are we taking them on tomorrow, son?" to Norman, you know. And Norman used to be unbelievably annoyed about it, you know. He'd say, "I wish he wouldn't do that." And we'd say, "Ah, Norman, you know, you're coming out with your dad tomorrow to play golf with him," you know. But one of the best pros I ever played with or against. Every day, enthusiastic, training. He trained in the midweek as if he was playing in a match, Nathan. Totally grateful for what he had because, as I said, he had been released. Don brought him back and he really worked at it. And he made himself into one of the great players, in my opinion. The best defender I ever played with.
Right. High praise indeed.
He was unlucky, Nathan, that he played at the same time as Bobby Moore. And Bobby Moore was a great player. And the bigger the occasion for Bobby Moore, the better he played. No, he wasn't a week-in, week-out player. West Ham weren't a great side, and they weren't ever going to win the league. So, and this is my opinion of Bobby Moore. I mean, he was a great player. But when he was... he didn't have the same enthusiasm and drive that Norman had
to do it every day
for every day and the matches.
Yeah,
Norman was the same in every match. You know, I never saw a day. I saw him having a few reasonably poor days, but never for the want to try it. He was a great pro, and he, in my opinion, he was a great defender, Norman.
Did he get a medal in 66? I know he was part of the squad, but didn't play.
Well, they got a medal about 20, 30 years later. They didn't give them out medals in those days. But he was, as I say, I think he got about 27 caps. But, you know, he played at a time of Bobby Moore, and Bobby Moore was the captain, as you know, as we all know, of the winning team in 66. But for attitude, week in and week out, he was great. He used to have a bit of a time to him, and Don loved him. But sometimes when we were playing, Norman would get the ball and he'd give it away. And Don used to say, "Norman, you get the ball, give it to the lads that could play." Meaning Bremner and myself.
Yeah.
You know? And Norman could play. You know, like when I played with Norman, if I was 40 yards away and Norman had his left foot, you'd get it straight to your feet.
Right.
He wasn't just a basher, you know. Norman could really play. But he didn't like that when Don used to say that to him, you know.
Yeah, well, look, we wish him well in the battle that he faces over the coming days and weeks. And hopefully we'll be talking about him again in the coming months. And hopefully everything works out.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so, Nathan, definitely.
Funny, he came to mind. I was I don't know if you saw this article. It was in The Telegraph, where they got Michael Oliver, current Premier League referee, to look back on the 1970 FA Cup final between Chelsea and Leeds, a proper football match, as Michael Oliver described it, but also he had to ref it like a modern day match would be refereed, and there was 11 red cards.
I'm surprised. I thought there'd be more. That's the time that was in it, Norman. You know, like we had a few hard members, so the Chelsea Chopper Harris and Eddie McCready. Peter Osgood could handle himself. There was a lot of going on. But that's the way it was. You know, in those days, you had to commit grievous bodily harm to get a yellow card.
Hmm.
It was just, that's the way, that was the time that was in it.
Yeah, was that a Chelsea team full of Chopper Harris type figures, or was he a standout?
No, they had some terrific players. The Charlie Cook, Peter Osgood was a terrific player. They had some. McCready was a terrific player at left back, and Chopper was a good player. They were all a very, very good team. Peter Benetti and goal. Unfortunately, as we know, Peter Benetti passed away this week. Nathan was a terrific goalkeeper for them. No, they had some. John Dempsey was a centre half. No, they had a good team. They funny enough, they won the cup and they won the Cup Winners' Cup at that particular time. But with as good a team as well, they never won the league, Nathan.
Yeah.
You know, they were regarded as being London boys. You know, they used to have a good time and that. And actually, they used to have a go at us because we were supposed to be so committed. We were boring.
Right.
You know, but we went boring.
Yeah, the medals.
We went boring all the time.
Yeah. I'd imagine not. Let's get into the Arsenal all-time 11. I put up online earlier today that you were going to be doing this, and already it has sparked quite a bit of debate when you look at the sheer amount of talent they had, particularly in midfield and attacking positions. So I think it'll be interesting what your final selection is. Let's start, though, in goal. The options for Arsenal then over the last, and remember, we're going back all the way to 1960, the likes of Pat Jennings, Bob Wilson, David Seaman, Jens Lehmann. Who have you gone with?
I've gone with David Seaman.
Right.
I love Pat, as you know, Pat Jennings. But Pat, you know, wasn't there as long as David Seaman, and Pat did have his great years at Spurs as well, but he was a terrific goalkeeper. Bob Wilson was terrific in 1971. They won the double in 1971, Nathan. We were challenging them all the way at that particular year at Leeds. But they did brilliantly. And Bob Wilson was a major player for them that year. It was the best season he ever. He wasn't a great goalkeeper, Bob Wilson, but he was a great goalkeeper that year, Nathan.
Right.
That season, he was fantastic. But I've gone with David Seaman because he gave tremendous service to Arsenal.
I'd imagine that was a tough decision because we spoke about Pat Jennings last week. He was obviously in your all-time Tottenham 11.
Yeah.
And the way
but
you spoke
enough,
about him, just how
enough,
good
Nathan,
he was.
I put Pat in. And I crossed him off. That's how close.
Right.
I love Pat. I mean, I said to you last week, Pat was the best goalkeeper, in my opinion, of that era. You know, whether it be David Seaman. But David Seaman was a terrific servant, and they were very successful at that particular time as well.
Yeah. Like, there have been so many great Arsenal teams throughout those eras, from, as you mentioned there, that team Bob Wilson played, the double-winning team of 71, the team, real exciting team full of Irish players in late 70s, early 80s, to the George Graham side that were so strong defensively, Arsene Wenger and the Invincibles. It's probably actually only in the last 7-8 years where there's been this real decline, where there aren't too many players in contention for this 11.
No, and I have to say, like I said last couple of weeks when we were doing the teams, these players that I've picked, again, like in 4 or 5 years' time, we might have another group of players coming in that would take their place. But I'm trying to balance it with the service that they've given to the club, Nathan. You know, there's a couple of players come in for a year or two. We're very, very good players, but the players I picked, and this might be my principle in doing it every week so far, is the service that they actually gave to the club at a particular time.
So let's go through your back four then, starting at right back.
I'm starting with Peter Storey.
Okay.
Now, Peter Storey became a midfield player, but he started, when I played against him originally in that, he was a right back, and Eddie Gray was our left winger at Leeds, and I used to feel sorry for Eddie. Peter Storey was a hard nut.
Right.
And he was well able to do it, Nathan. And I used to feel sorry for Eddie. And then he moved into midfield and was marking me, man marking me.
Okay.
And after that, he was quiet lad. Never said a dicky word on the pitch, Nathan. He had this mad stare, though. You know, he frightened the life out of you. But he could play. He was a great marker. He was the best marker I came across playing, man marking, in the middle of the field. Played for England in the middle. Played for England at right back as well.
Yeah.
I only met him once. I played in the three versus the six when we were entering the common market.
Mm.
And he was in that. And it's the first time I really got him on a social occasion. He still never said a word. But he didn't kick me. That was okay.
For once.
Actually, he was a good lad overall, but he was a good player.
He was
a good, steady player. Very good, steady player.
The obvious modern alternative would have been a Lee Dixon.
He wouldn't be as hard as Storey.
Right.
No, he wouldn't be as hard as Storey. Storey was, I'd say he was the best. When he moved to midfield now, he was the best man marker I came across. He could play, but he was a tough nut, Nathan.
So Peter Storey is your right back. Who's your left back?
My left back is Bob McNabb.
Right.
You might know about Bob McNabb. Played for them in their double winning team at that particular time. He played for England as well. He was a steady player, good footballer. He came from Huddersfield. Actually, when I went to Leeds first, we played Huddersfield within the second division. He made his debut against me.
Okay.
And he did well. Hardly got a kick of the ball against me. He was a very, very good player. Understated, got on with the job. Good lad, but did the job well, Nathan.
Again, left back must have been such a difficult selection, because you think of the back four from George Graham, where you had Dixon on the right, Winterburn on the left, Ashley Cole, who for a lot of people is potentially the best left back of the Premier League era, and Kenny Sampson, who I was looking at earlier. Like, Kenny Sampson, his first seven seasons at Arsenal, was in the PFA Team of the Year every single season.
It's a very difficult pick, as you can imagine. And I do have all those players down, Ashley Cole and Lee Dixon and these players, in my special mention, for example, you know.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult, Nathan, you know. Like, there would be people who would be fans of those particular players. Now, I'm going back a while, and so Bob McNabb wouldn't be as familiar to some of the players. I'm going back to the 60s and that.
Yeah.
But he did play regularly in... They did win the double, don't forget, years ago when Bob McNabb and Frank McClintock and these guys were playing in the team, which was a huge achievement, because in those days, Nathan, there were more teams likely to win the league than now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And more,
there was more competition, in my opinion, to win the league in those days than there is now, because you got the top six, and it hasn't been out the top six for years and years, you know?
Mm.
At that time, there was about six, seven, eight, actually between 66, I think, and 73, seven different teams won the league.
Yeah, it was certainly far more competitive. And listen, it's obviously a testament to Bob McNabb that he gets selected ahead of those players as well, and shows just how good he was.
He was a good player, Nathan. Yeah.
So your two centre halves, who did you go for?
I went for David O'Leary as one of the centre halves. Dave was a very, very good player. Got about the job quietly, but did it well. You know, I came across Dave actually. I capped Dave for against England with Kevin Keegan playing. And he didn't give Keegan a kick. This was a friendly match, which we drew 1-1. And David was a young lad coming into it. He marked Kevin Keegan out of the game. He was a big, lanky lad in those days, David. But he covered the ground brilliantly. Very well balanced. Very, very quick. And was good enough on the ball to use it well enough. David was a top-class player.
Yeah, an incredible career at Arsenal, 18, 19 years, selected week in, week out. As a footballer, like, when you looked at O'Leary, was it his defensive mindset or his footballing ability that you went with?
Well, no, mostly he's defensive, Nathan. Mm. When I'm looking at defenders, I'd always look at them defensively first. But he was good enough on the ball to use it and use it well. And playing, when you're playing in a good team as a defender like David, you don't have to do too much on the ball, Nathan, because... you know, midfield players should look for it and make it. In other words, defenders win the ball, they give it to the guys that make position for it in the middle of the field, midfield players particularly. So they shouldn't be called on to be knocking 40 or 50-yard passes. That's a bonus if you can do that.
Yeah.
If you go to Beckenbauer's time, He could do everything like that.
Yeah.
Now, David wasn't a terrific player in distributing the ball, but he was good enough not to lose the ball, which was the main thing. But so, defensively, excellent.
So you have a lot of options alongside him, from Sol Campbell, Steve Bould, Martin Keown, Frank McClintock, Tony Adams. Who did you go for?
I went for Tony Adams.
Right. What separates
Tony Adams was a really, really leading player. Mm. I think he was the best defender of his day, Nathan. He could use the ball okay. He wouldn't be as good on the ball as David O'Leary. But he could defend really well. And he was a real leader in that team. You know, if there was any tackling to be done, he was in there getting headers in, scored a few valuable goals for them as well. I think he was a top-class player. I have to mention Frank McClintock, by the way. Frank McClintock was a midfield player originally that went into the central back to position and, again, captained the team when they won the double. And I was very nearly putting him in the team, to be quite honest, Nathan. But certainly Adams, I would not leave out of a best-ever Arsenal team.
Yeah, and was part of, you know, the 89 team that won the league, the 91 team, and then continuing into the Wenger era. And in fact, maybe, I think certainly for my age group, you probably look at Adams slightly differently because of he had that time with Wenger when he got to show more of that footballing side of his game.
Oh, definitely. Oh, he could play, Nathan. Like, when you have a defender, like we talked about Norman Hunter earlier, Norman was a trippy defender, but he had enough ability to come out. He wouldn't. You don't expect defenders to be beaten players, but some of them could, but there were few and far between. The main thing you're looking at, can he defend? Is he a good defender? And Adams didn't have, but when Adams was on the ball, he didn't give the ball away, Nathan. He could use it, but he wasn't hitting 40, 50-yard passes. But the main thing was defending, and he was a real defender.
All right, so the goalkeeper, David Seaman, a back four, Peter Storey, David O'Leary, Tony Adams and Bob McNabb. We might actually take a quick break, John, before we get in to the midfielders and the attackers.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.
You're welcome back. It's Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you and John Giles on the line as well, picking his all-time Arsenal 11. He's gone for David Seaman in goals, a back four of Peter Storey, David O'Leary, Tony Adams and Bob McNabb. Let's get on to the midfielders, John, and I don't envy you because there have been so many wonderful midfielders for Arsenal through the years. I was saying earlier on that you could literally just go with a Perez, Petit, Vieira, Overmars and nobody would have an issue until you start thinking of, well, where does Liam Brady fit in? So what formation have you gone for first?
I've gone for 4-3-3.
So three midfielders.
Three midfielders, yeah.
Who have you gone with?
I've gone with Fabregas.
Right.
That's Fabregas. I think for a period in England, he was the best midfield player in the Premiership, Nathan.
Incredible.
He could get on the ball. He could, you know, especially in the middle of the midfield, he could dictate it. I think it was a shame that he left Arsenal, or maybe, I don't know whether he had to leave at that particular time. You know, Wenger brought him in, as we know, but I think he became a top-class player for the few years that he was at Arsenal.
And incredible the way at such a young age he was that player that you talk about, with the technique, with the ability to control games from midfield. Like, pretty much played a full season at 17 in the centre of midfield for a brilliant Arsenal team.
Yeah, he was. I don't think he marched on to greatness. I think maybe leaving Arsenal stopped that, Nathan. But I think he had the ability to do it. As you say, at 17, he had all the right ideas. He had the technique to do it. He got better with Arsenal. And then I think they were following a program, or Wenger had to follow a program. There was finances involved. And he left. I think he was marching on to greatness at that particular time.
The fact that maybe he didn't fully get to that level of greatness, and as good as he was, and he didn't really enjoy much success. There was an FA Cup win. He was part of a team that got to a Champions League final. But unlike a lot of the names, even the ones I was mentioning there, like he never was able to bring them to a league title. Did any part of that come into your reckoning?
No, because I think it was beyond his control. I think when they were going for the new stadium, Nathan, I think the future changed for Arsenal. I think Wenger went for the policy of the stadium being the main concern, that he couldn't afford the best players. He had to sell Fabregas. He had to do things that at the time Alex Ferguson didn't have to do, for example. You know, Alex Ferguson wasn't bothered about the new stand and anything else. He was getting the money to buy the best players available. And I think Wenger, with the wage, the wage structure, and that all changed to accommodate the new stadium. That's when they parted ways, Wenger and Ferguson. Ferguson wasn't bothered about a new stand. He was bothered about getting the next the best players in. I think Wenger approached it in a different way. He said, I'm the manager of the club. It's not just the playing situation they're a manager of. I'm a manager of the club. And he went a certain way to make sure that they had the money to build a new stadium. He stopped buying the best players and he had to sell a few players, Nathan. That was the difference at that time. I think had he been in the same position as attitude as Ferguson, he would have bought good players surrounding Fabregas. But that stopped.
Yeah.
And he then couldn't compete with Manchester United.
So Fabregas, the first midfielder in. Who else have you gone for?
I've gone for Patrick Vieira.
Straightforward selection?
Oh, no problem. Mm. He was one of the best, Nathan. He was a warrior. He could play. He could score goals. And this was the time when Wenger first came to the club. You see, I think when any manager comes to a club, you usually have spot two or three players, Nathan, in other places or maybe in clubs you were with that you could get. And he certainly did that. He got Vieira and he got Henry in two at least at that particular time. Where I think they both were at Juventus, were they? And they weren't doing very well.
Mm.
So he got them in. But Vieira was a real player. He could do everything. He could tackle, get stuck in. He could play. He could score a few goals for you. So he was a top class midfield player.
Yeah. Yeah, and the rivalry with Roy Keane just added to it.
Oh, I think he was trying to bully somebody, Vieira, which he would. I think he tried to bully anybody when they were coming down the pit.
Yeah, Gary Neville.
Gary Neville, he wasn't a bad judge then, was he? And Keane stuck up for him.
Yeah.
You know, like Keane was captain of the team, and he wouldn't bow to anybody either. So there was a right battle between those two. You know, they were two great players, but Vieira, I think, was a great player. And a huge signing for Arsenal that day, and influence at that particular time.
So Fabregas and Vieira, who's the final selection?
I've gone for Liam Brady.
All right, I was starting to get a little bit worried there.
Yeah, we were getting it. We had to get something beautiful in there, and Liam, I would always regard as a beautiful player.
Mm.
Easy on the eye, Nathan. You know, get on his left foot. He can dribble. He could go past people, get the pass in. I thought Liam was a wonderful player.
Was he a midfielder? A midfielder who was effective in every game?
Yeah, well, he played left-hand side of midfield. Mm. I don't think he was capable of playing in the Vieira's position as the general of midfield. I don't think Liam had that in him. But he had this beautiful approach that you get the ball out to Liam and he'll do something on it. Because he could beat players. You don't get many midfield players now or then who could go past people. And it's sometimes the most effective thing in the game. You go past your opposition. And Liam could do that. You know, he was a beautiful player. He wasn't a warrior like Vieira. And he was suited to the left-hand side midfield. I don't think he was able to play middle of midfield to dictate the game. So you had to get the ball out to Liam. And then he could really do his stuff.
He obviously...
Do it brilliantly.
Yeah. He obviously
and easy on the eye, Nathan. Mm. You know, easy on the eye. When beautiful control. He had a good swerve. He could get a good shot in. He could make a pass. So... you know, he was great down that left-hand side of midfield.
Yeah, he was a scorer of brilliant goals.
Yes. Yes, he wasn't a regular scorer because he was a midfield player. And he wasn't a great tackler, but he did his best. He had an honest go at it, you know. But you could live with Liam for that because once he got on the ball, he didn't lose it, Nathan.
Mm.
And he could beat players, he could make goals, he could score a few goals. Now, Liam was a top-class player.
What was he like in training?
He was okay.
Yeah,
yeah. He had this style about him that he looked like he was struggling a bit. But once he got on the ball, and then he could turn on this pace from nowhere to go past people. It's just the way he looked. You know, he was sort of casual looking in his general running. But once he got on the ball, you know, he turned from the ugly duckling into this beautiful swan. And it was beautiful on the ball, beautiful to watch, easy on the eye, and very, very effective.
You're saying all the right things if he's listening in anyways, John.
I fell out with him last week.
Wait till you're doing your Arsenal one with him. You're back again. So your midfield is Fabregas, Vieira and Brady. I got to say, I'm surprised Perez isn't in there. I would have thought that Perez was very much your type of player.
Well, he was, Nathan, but again, you've got three picks.
Mm.
Who
are you leaving out?
There are lots of people listening and saying, why wasn't he in? It's a very difficult job. It's not a job. I mean, I enjoy it and then having to chat about it. But I can understand people saying, well, he was my favourite, he was my favourite. And you very seldom get two people having the sharing the same opinion over football, Nathan. You know, that's why people are interested. I'm giving you my pick. A lot of people will have different picks altogether.
I suspect,
and I understand that, you know.
I suspect a lot of people might go along with your picks for your front three. Do you want to run through them?
Yeah, I've got Ian Wright, who I think was a terrific player. What a career he had, Nathan. He came in from late non-league football quite late to Crystal Palace. I think he was about 26, 27, 28 when he moved to Arsenal. But what a difference he made. And he was absolutely brilliant. I my own opinion on when he went to play for England, or when he did play for England, he didn't play quite as well as he could have played. I think he was too anxious to please, Nathan.
Right.
That was my opinion with England. But Arsenal, he was very comfortable. He scored brilliant goals. He was an absolute brilliant goal scorer and worked quite hard as well. I wouldn't have any doubts about putting him in the team. I thought he was terrific.
At the time he ended up in their all-time leading scorer. And it's funny to say it there. I hadn't realised he was 27, 28 when he went to Arsenal. Like, to go on and score that many goals at that stage of your career.
Yeah, and good goals, mate. Well, there's no such thing as a bad goal. But, I mean, the way he scored a lot of goals on his own. You know, going past people and chipping them in. And you know, he was a top-class striker for Arsenal. There's no doubt about that. He was really, really good. And a good attitude, too.
Yeah, so Ian Wright is in there. Who's alongside him?
I've got Thierry Henry.
Again, straightforward?
I think he was one of the greats, to be honest. And funny enough, when he went to Arsenal, I don't know if you remember now, and he played on the right wing a lot. I thought he was terrible. I did. I thought, what's he doing in the team? He's hopeless. And then he moved into centre-forward and leading the attack, and he became... What a goal scorer he was. He's a big lad, as we know. Quick, great balance, great dribbler, great shot in his right foot, and finishing well. He was a real player.
Yeah, both a scorer of great goals and a scorer of lots of goals. Like six straight seasons where he scored 24 and over in the Premier League.
Yeah, he was brilliant, Nathan. I think he became one of the great goal scorers in the Premier League. Mm. No doubt about that. He was terrific. And he could do them on his own as well. You know, I see some of his goals now, even on the telly, that they go back. And he's scoring all sorts of goals. He's chipping them in, he's beating players, he's going on, and he was very quick. Big, big, strong lad, but very particularly quick and great on his right side particularly. Now, he was some goal scorer.
So, Henry and Wright, who's the final member of your team?
Yeah, I've gone for Dennis Bergkamp.
All right.
Bergkamp was easy going, looking fella, Nathan. Looked like he wasn't bothered at times. But he couldn't half finish and dribble and bring people into the game. You know, his control of the ball generally was really top class. Always had time and space for himself and scored his fair share of goals for Arsenal.
Yeah, and a tough nut as well, it always seemed. Like, could take the physical stuff.
Oh, he could take it, yeah. He didn't dish it out very much, but the main thing is for players like that is to be able to take it and come back for more. And he could do that in his own way. I mean, some lads lose their head, they kick back and that. He didn't do that. He didn't seem to get excited about anything, to be quite honest. But it didn't stop him from playing. When anybody was giving him a hard time, which is what happens to the real players, they come back for more, Nathan. And he did it in his own way. They wouldn't kick him out of the game.
Yeah, it's not a bad front three, right, Henry Bergkamp. Is there honourable mentions you want to run through quickly?
I have a few, Nathan. You know, there's maybe a lot. Alan Smith. Certainly Frank McClintock, Martin Keown, Bob Wilson, I've mentioned, Lee Dixon, Kenny Sanson, Steve Bould, Ray Kennedy, Overmars, Van Persie, Radford, and that's about it, Nathan. You know, that's quite a fair, maybe left out one or two, but they had some great players over the years, Arsenal. And I can tell you, it wasn't easy to give you my team. Anyway, I'm sure there'll be plenty of others, Arsenal supporters or football supporters. I don't know what the hell he's picking them for, and they have their own team, and that's football.
Well, that's the fun of it as well.
Yeah.
So the team, David Seaman in goals, back four, Peter Storey, David O'Leary, Tony Adams, Bob McNabb in midfield, Cesc Fabregas, Patrick Vieira and Liam Brady, and the front three of Ian Wright, Thierry Henry and Dennis Bergkamp. If you're doing this with Liam over the coming weeks, John, just leave him out and just see what the reaction is.
I daren't.
After what happened last time. John, great stuff as always. Thanks a lot for your time. We'll talk to you again next Thursday.
Nathan.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.